Praise the Lord. Well, if you love the Lord, say amen. You can do better than that. If you love the Lord, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. How late you guys stay up last night?
Yeah.
Pretty late? Amen. This guy's got jokes right here. He told me a joke yesterday. You want to tell him your joke?
No.
Can I tell him your joke? He told me a joke yesterday. He said, did you know what the baby said to the mama? I said, no. What did the baby say to the mama? They already know it. Do you know what the baby said to the mama? Yeah, he told you too, huh? I said, did you write that? He said, yeah, I wrote that. So he's a joke writer. Amen. He stayed up late figuring that one out. Amen. Praise the Lord. Man, wasn't that wonderful last night? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank God. What a wonderful time we had in the house of the Lord last night. Praise God. I enjoy being in the presence of the Lord. Amen. I'd rather be in the presence of God and feel the presence of the Lord and just rejoice. I don't get tired of serving the Lord. I don't get tired of going to church. Amen. Amen. I was raised in a preacher's home, got saved in an early age, and I don't have a sad song to sing. I just enjoy serving the Lord. I really do. Amen. Amen. It's a joy to serve the Lord. Thank God. Amen. The presence of God that comes into our heart and our lives. Amen. What we felt last night. Amen. What's that worth? Hallelujah. What is that worth? Thank God. Whatever it takes to have more of that presence in my life. Thank God. I just wanted to stay right there. As the glory of the Lord was among us last night, the power of the Lord was here. Praise the Lord. That is the premium. I'm so glad God instituted the plan that he did to where you and I can not only feel, but that the Spirit of God indwells within us. Amen. And when we get up today, the Spirit of God is still there. Amen. The Spirit of God indwells within us. You know, the world, they'll pay a great price to do what they love to do. And early last week, I was in Winston-Salem in a continuing education class, and Dr. Jim Nossett was the keynote speaker, and I don't have all of the credentials for Dr. Nossett, but one of his leading credentials is this, the IndyCar 500, or if I'm not saying that right, forgive me, but anyway, he is the medical physician that if there's an accident on the track there at IndyCar 500, he is the lead trauma physician. So if there's an accident, he heads the team of physicians that heads out on the track, and he's the head trauma guy. So I guess 2 years ago, so this is 16, so in 2015, I couldn't tell you the name of the race car driver. He said it in his speech, but it was some Italian name, and I couldn't repeat it if you told me to. But anyway, there was an accident, and he showed the pictures on his PowerPoint presentation. And so I guess the code over the radio is if they go yellow, 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 that's all the physicians, all the trauma, everybody hits the track, and that means there's been an accident and things are bad. So the call came out, and it was yellow, yellow, yellow. This guy's car had left. Somehow he turned sideways, and as aerodynamic as that thing is, they're traveling about 240 miles an hour. That car got sideways. The air got up underneath that guy's tires. He went airborne, went into the fence, turned up sideways. So by the time they got to him and began to respond to him, they assumed that as they began to converse with him, there was nothing too traumatic as he was talking back to them and answering, going through the protocols of different things. Different people on different places of the car as they began to kind of extrapolate him out. But what they did not realize that in that accident, part of the front axle of the car had broken off and kind of come up through the seat. And not to gross you, well, teenagers, you guys don't get grossed out by anything. So the back half of the room today, you know, older people, they get grossed out a little bit. But anyway, it kind of come up through the seat and through this guy's thigh and through his back and kind of pinned him to the seat. But the EMTs couldn't see that. So they're talking to this guy in his mask, and, you know, they're giving him the concussion protocols and doing all of this. They got the spreader bars, and they're trying to get this guy jerked out of this seat, but they don't understand that part of the axle actually has this guy impaled into the seat. It's like got the guy nailed to the seat, and they're trying to jerk this guy out of the seat, but he is like nailed to the seat. And so they don't understand what's going on. So they got more spreader bars, and they're going apart, and they're like on the count of three. They got like 12 guys on top of this car, and they're just give it everything they got. You know, they're going to. And so literally on the count of three, they just rip this guy out of there, and that axle just kind of like rips that guy just, you know, you let your imagination go with you. What, you know, your flesh is no match for an axle of the front end of the car. I'm just telling you that. Well, the end of the story is this. You know, this guy's given this story, and he says, and the great news is that, and he gives that race car driver's name, and he said, and he won pole position this year, 2016, at IndyCar 500. I'm thinking, if that would have happened to me in 2015, there's no way you're ever going to get me in a race car again. But that guy, whoever that guy is, that he not only got back in a race car, but I guess he was pole position this year, 2016. I mean, now, if you are willing to risk all of that for some flag, and they say we're crazy for going to church and loving Jesus, I don't know. You might have thought it was a little dangerous around here last night because somebody might have been shaking you a little bit too hard while you was praying. But I promise you, there wasn't nothing dangerous like that going around. Amen. How many enjoy serving the Lord? Amen. I enjoy serving Jesus. Don't you? Amen. Old songwriter said, I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know, walking in the King's highway. Amen. Amen. It's good to see you in the house of the Lord. Let's worship God today. Amen. I really felt like a couple of days before I left to come up here that I'd be preaching on the Holy Ghost one morning, and I just feel like that's this morning. So I'm looking at you wondering if I've missed it, so I don't know. I don't really have much of an illustrated sermon, so I don't know if I got the right thing or not. Some of you looking like I might need an illustrated sermon to wake you up. But I'd like to see somebody get the Holy Ghost on a Thursday morning at youth camp. Hallelujah. I'd like for the Lord to come by this morning, wouldn't you? Let's stand to our feet. Let's lift our hands toward heaven. Amen. Let's just worship the Lord for a moment here while my wife gets ready to sing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's let the will of the Lord be done today. Father, we love you. We magnify your name. We praise you, Lord. God, we magnify you. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless your name.
I was actually going to teach you guys a new song today. I know when I used to go to youth camp, I learned several scripture songs. And you guys may already know this one. But Psalms 25, if you guys already know it, you can. But if you want to get your Bibles, you can sing it with me. I'm just going to do a cappella because I have no idea what key this is in. But it's Psalms 25, verse 1, 2, and 7. And you're actually going to sing after me. Repeat after me. I'm going to sing, then you guys sing with me, behind me, follow me. And then on verse 2, we're all going to sing. When I do this, it means we all sing together, okay? Okay. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my voice unto thee, O Lord? Do I lift up my voice, O my God? I trust in thee. All together. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Remember not the sins of my youth. Remember not the sins of my youth. Oh my God, I trust in thee. All together, let me not be ashamed, let not my enemies triumph over me. One more time. Remember not the sins of my youth. Remember not the sins of my youth. Oh my God, I trust in thee. All together, let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Okay, so now you know a couple verses today.
Amen. If you want to read in the Bible, I'm going to the book of St. John's Gospel, chapter number 14. St. John, chapter number 14. Let's actually read in St. John, chapter number 14, starting at verse number 16. Brother Miller, good to see you. Brother Head, good to see you. Amen. Good to see Brother and Sister Head come in. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's stand as we read from the Word of the Lord today. Also, the book of Acts, chapter number 1. Just a little while, I want to give an altar call. And if you want the Lord to bless your life, obviously, give a general altar call. But if you'd like to be refilled with the Holy Ghost, if you'd like to be filled with the Holy Ghost, amen. And we'll come around the altar and we'll just worship the Lord for a little while. And we'll lift our hands and worship God. Amen. Lunch is not going to be ready till about 12. And so, amen. We got time to worship the Lord today. Amen. Amen. And if you really get lost in the Spirit, they'll warm it up for you later. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. If you hang around Brother Ingram, he's not going to let you go hungry. I promise you that. Amen. John 14. How many of you have a red-lettered edition Bible? Good deal. How many of you read your Bible a lot? How many of this is the Bible you read at home? How many read your Bible at home? How many are you going to start reading your Bible at home after youth camp, right?
Yeah.
All right. Right. Okay. Good, good. All right. I'm going to use the Bible a lot today as we kind of go through it. All right. I just want to preach about the blessing of the Holy Ghost today. I believe it's God's will for all of us to be filled with the Holy Ghost. John 14 and 16. Here's what Jesus says. John 14 and 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Look at verse number 26. But the Comforter. Somebody say Comforter. But the Comforter. Somebody say, so I don't know if I want the Holy Ghost or not, or I'm nervous, or I'm kind of scared of. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. John 15 and 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me, and ye shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Amen. One more. Acts chapter number 1, verse number 4. Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you as you're seated today. Praise the Lord. In the presence of the Lord. Amen. If you're going to help me preach today, say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. If at any time over the next few minutes you decide you want the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I'm going to give you a personal invitation. You're welcome to interrupt this message. You're welcome to stand up and just start worshiping the Lord. You're welcome to come to the altar and we'll pray with you. And I promise you we'll... Today's the dunking booth, right? I'm not real excited about that dunking booth, so I'm willing to pray with you all day long. Willing to sacrifice that. I'm willing to give up the dunking booth to pray with you. I'll let Brother Shoecraft take my place at the dunking booth. Not really. Amen. But how many believe that we need the baptism of the Holy Ghost to come into our hearts and our lives? I want to talk to you briefly today about that pattern that God intends for all of us to have, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I believe it's God's will. Amen. I believe it's God's will. I don't believe you've got to talk God into the design or the desire for you to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I believe it's already settled. I believe it's God's plan. I believe God wants you to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I believe that is God's design. That's God's desire for each and every one of us as a blood-washed child of God. That is God's plan. No matter if you're timid or outgoing, whether you're an extrovert or an introvert. Amen. Whether you're from a small church or a big church. Amen. That is God's plan for you to be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I believe that with everything inside of me, that is God's plan. That is the pattern, I believe, of the New Testament church. I want to talk to you secondly about the blessings that come from the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and then also a little bit about not only biblical precedent, but some of the maybe the historical things that we can look at as the Holy Ghost is poured out through maybe church history and some of the experiences that we can look at, that God, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everything be established, that God shows that He is desiring to pour out the Holy Ghost in this generation, in this dispensation as well. Amen. But notice with me this morning the pattern that it is God's will, first of all, for you to be saved. How many believe that? Say amen. It is God's will for you to be saved. Amen. The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And how do we get saved? We get saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's the blood plus nothing. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that washes away all of our sins. Hallelujah. Amen. God wants you to be saved. God wants you to go to heaven. If you're going to heaven, you're going through the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank God for the cross of Calvary. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. If you're saved, friend, you're saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. There are those that say that if you're saved, you've got to speak in tongues to be saved. That's not what the Bible teaches us. Thank God for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and I want to talk about that power and the blessing that comes from the Holy Ghost. But I want to, first of all, before we get to that, talk about salvation that comes through the blood of Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. It's not the salvation that comes from the blood and water baptism. It's
not the salvation of Jesus Christ, but going down to the river and being baptized in water. It's the salvation of the blood of Jesus Christ plus absolutely nothing. Thank God. Amen. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that washes our sins away. Amen. Matter of fact, Ephesians 1 and 7 says it this way, that we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. Amen. If you're saved this morning, friend, you're saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. The cross will get you to heaven. I said the cross of Jesus Christ will get you to heaven. Anybody that adds anything to the cross, anybody that adds anything to the gospel of the cross to get you to heaven, it's not of works lest any man should boast. It's the cross plus nothing. It's the blood plus nothing. But thank God for the cross of Jesus Christ. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Oh, thank God, thank God. Hear me, young folks, just because you're raised in church doesn't mean you're saved. Just because you go to a Christian school doesn't mean you're saved. Just because you're a preacher's kid doesn't mean you're saved. Just because you're a deacon's kid doesn't mean you're saved. Hallelujah. How many realize that every one of you have to have a born-again experience in God? Amen. There's a blessing to have a heritage. There's a blessing. There's a blessing in being raised in church. Thank God. Thank God for that. There's scars that you've avoided. Thank God for that. But you have to have that conviction of sin. You've got to feel that condemnation and that awareness that you need to be saved. I can remember being a little boy and being 7 years old and feeling the conviction of sin. If you've heard me talk about being saved and my conviction experience, you've heard me talk about my grandmother Ralston, she is 92 years old. She still plays the piano randomly at Brother Benny's church, but my grandmother Ralston was playing the piano the night I got saved. I was sitting where my wife is at my dad's church, and he had 2 sections, and I was sitting right there, and Dad preached that night, and condemnation was on my life. The Sunday night before, I was crying, and I really didn't understand what it was, but I was crying, and Dad told me that week that conviction was on my life. I didn't really know any bad thing I had done, maybe except take a quarter off my sister's dresser or something like that. I hadn't done any horrible sins or anything like that. But Dad explained conviction, and I needed to be saved. And I remember the next Sunday night as Dad preached, and the same thing happened, that same experience. I felt condemnation and conviction, and I know I needed to be saved. And I remember I couldn't look up at the preacher. I couldn't look at Dad that night. But I happened to look over. Piano was on that side of the church, and Grandma, she played that Floyd Kramer style. That pouncing left hand, dominant left hand. And she was playing the piano, and you've heard me describe that hairdo she had, and she still has. And a lot of black hair to this day, 92 years old. And she just kind of gave me a Pentecostal invitation. She just kind of nodded her head toward the altar. And that's all it took for the little 7-year-old boy. And she gave me that invitation, pointed her head toward the altar. I can remember jumping off that pew and hitting that altar. And I can remember crying. I can remember weeping my way to salvation. And I can promise you it was like yesterday in my mind's eye. It was as if there was this billboard flashing saying, I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved. I'm going to tell you, young folks, it ought to be that way. There ought to be something in your mind. There ought to be an experience in your life when the devil says, hey, you're just doing it because your pastor, your preacher, your teacher, your parents know. Amen. You need to go back and say no at youth camp 2016, or maybe in a chapel at a Christian school, or a Sunday night at your home church. You can take the devil back and say, no, I got saved. I can take you back to the spot at the altar. I can show you where I prayed through. I gave my heart to the Lord. I sold out and surrendered in the blood of Jesus Christ. He washed my sins away. How many young folks you know this morning that you know that you're saved? You know that you know that you know that your sins are under the blood, that your name's in the book of life. Amen. The devil's a liar. Amen. You know Jesus is your Savior. Doesn't matter what the devil says. Thank God Almighty, you're forgiven. Hallelujah. There's another aspect of the gospel that we preach, and that's called sanctification. We still preach that, right?
Yes, sir.
We're talking about getting to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So we're saved, and then we get sanctified. What does sanctification mean? Somebody yell it out. All right, we're set apart. Wow, y'all smart kids. Right, we're sanctified. Sanctified. I love A.B. Simpson's definition of sanctification, that threefold aspect, that we are set apart from the world, we are set apart unto God, and then we are filled with the Spirit of God. A lot of people preach sanctification only as the negative aspect, that we are just set apart. But we, not only are we set apart from something, but we are set apart unto something. All right? So, you know, this flower arrangement, if it's not set apart for something, then really it's not set apart from something. You know, we could say, you know, well, this, it's set apart from smoking. It's set apart from tobacco. It's set apart, but it's really not set apart to God either. You know, sanctification isn't just not set apart from the world, but it's being set apart unto God. That's sanctification. It's not just coming out from the world, but it's being set apart unto the purpose of God. That's really what sanctification is. There is that negative aspect, but a lot of times the preaching falls predominantly on one side of it. Amen. And there is that negative aspect to it that we have to come out from it. There is that part of it that we are set apart from the world, that there are do's and don'ts and things that we come away from. But that is because we're getting close to God, that we're coming out from the world, that we touch not the world, neither the unclean thing, but that's because we're being made in the image of God, that we're getting close to God. It's not that we're trying to get God's favor. We already have God's favor, and we're being made in the image of God, that God is transforming us, and God is conforming us, and the favor of God is upon us, and God is sanctifying our lives. Amen. And ABC Simpson said, like the treasure vessels in the Old Testament, they were set apart and they were cleansed, but then they were also filled for use. Amen. That sanctification is being filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. I'd love for us today to be filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'd love for the Holy Ghost to come to us today in a mighty outpouring of His Spirit. Amen. I'd love today for that wind of the Holy Ghost and the rain of His Spirit to fall upon every one of these young folks in this camp, that when we leave this house, we understand that yes, we have been set apart, but we have been set apart for a purpose, that it's not just what we don't do, but it's why we don't do it, for we're reaching for a prize. We've got the glory of God upon us. We've been elevated to a higher purpose. We've been called to a higher level. We've been called to a higher glory. We're called to serve God. We've been elevated for a purpose. Amen. We've been called to revival. We've been called to work for God. We've been called to start revivals. Amen. Oh, this world, it doesn't have anything on us. I'd rather feel what I felt last night. I'd rather feel the glory of God. I'd rather feel the touch of God. I'd rather feel the power of the Holy Ghost. What you had last night, you can't have the world and have that too. You can't have the world and the glory of God. You've got to make up your mind. I choose to be a Christian. I'd rather have the glory, or I'd rather have the world. But my God, last night, what I felt, I say, I choose the glory. I choose the glory. I choose the fire. I choose the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Oh, my God, my God. But you see, Jesus said, I will give you another comforter. So I need some of you to be disciples of Jesus. Come on real quickly. Come here, Jesus. Usually I make you the devil in the story, but I'm feeling sorry for you, you're handicapped. Come on, some of you disciples of Jesus. Come on, this is Jesus, so you want to get close to Jesus. Come on. I need some. Y'all, this is Jesus. So come on, get close to Jesus. For 3 years, they walked by Jesus. They received instructions from Jesus. They received comfort from Jesus. Whatever Jesus told them to do, wherever Jesus told them to go, they did. They received. He was side by side. You know, the word comforter is this. How many has ever heard the Greek word parakletos? You know, sometimes I'm not a, you know, you hear the preachers talk. I know a little Greek, you know. I know a little Greek. His name is Jimmy, right? So the Greek word is parakletos. Para means with, and kletos alongside of. So it's to come alongside of. It's a comforter. It's a help. So it's kind of somebody that, you know, comes along to help you. It's, you know, kind of like a parable. A parable, that word, same with, alongside of. So think of somebody that comes alongside of you and just is going to help you out. So a comforter comes up beside you. For 3 years, Jesus has been that to these disciples. He has been their best friend. He has been their comrade. He has been their direction. He has been their central headquarters. Their everything they have received has been from Jesus. They have looked to him. But Jesus tells them, I'm going to give you another comforter. Well, what he's telling them, I'm getting ready to go away. I'm getting ready to vacate the premises. Now, think about it for a second. All right, Brother Ingram, I'll get you back in just a second, but just if you go to your office for a second. Can you imagine the vacancy in the lives of these disciples? For 3 years, they have leaned on Jesus. They have received their instructions from Jesus. They have gleaned from him. They have leaned on him. He has been their comfort. He has been their peace. And all of a sudden, he's gone. So can you imagine the weakness? Can you imagine the lack of strength they've got? Almost kind of like the Monday after youth camp. Or maybe the Saturday after youth camp. When you wake up at home and, I mean, you've been in youth camp and, it just feels so strong. Just everything feels so strong. And then all of a sudden, and so, how do we keep everybody unified? So what's the plan? What is the will of God? How is God going to strategically keep his church unified? Because, I mean, think about it. You got 3, 5, 10 people. How many ideas do you have? You get 100 people together. How many ideas do you have? You get 10,000 people together. How many ideas do you have? How are you going to keep the church together down through time? We're 2,000 years later. How are we going to keep the church together? And so Jesus said, I'm going to give you another comforter. Another comforter. One just like me, but another. In the same likeness. He's going to fill the same role. But Jesus said something so critical. He said he's going to be ever present with you. He is going to always, always be there. He's going to be with you and you and you and you. Then that's the marvel of the strategy of God. Because with Jesus, it was this. That wherever Jesus went, amen, get Jesus for me for a second, amen, wherever Jesus went, that's where his disciples went, amen, wherever Jesus went, amen, that's where his disciples went, amen, wherever Jesus went, that's the only place place his disciples went. But here's the thing. Amen. After youth camp is over, amen, some of you are probably going to go back to Georgia. Some of you are going to go back to Alabama. Some of you are going back to Georgia. Some of you are going to stay in Tennessee. But we can't cut Jesus up into little pieces and give him a little to Alabama and a little to Georgia. But the wonderful thing about the Spirit of God is this, amen, that he is able, he is able, he is able, he is able in his fullness. He is able to be ever present with all of us in Alabama and in Georgia. Oh, hallelujah. He is able to be full in every one of our lives, that we don't have to leave him at youth camp. But when we get in Alabama, the same Spirit of God that we felt in that altar service on Wednesday, when we wake up Saturday at home and we say, God, where are you? I feel by myself. We wake up and he says, I am right here. I am your comforter. I am your peace. I am your strength. I am your guide. I am your truth. I will lead you. I will guide you. I'm telling you, young folks, more than you need a best friend, more than you need a new choir song, you need the abiding presence of the Holy Ghost. You need the rushing wind of the Spirit of God. I said, let the Holy Ghost, let the Holy Ghost, let the fire of his Spirit, let him fill every one of your hearts. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Glory. So Jesus said, this is my plan. I'm going to envelop. I'm going to, and forgive me for using a sheet here. I understand the Spirit of God is the Holy Ghost is as much God as the Father. But this just as an emblematic token. Jesus says, I'm going to wrap every one of my disciples. I'm going to clothe them in the Holy Ghost. John said it this way, some went out from us because they were not of us, but ye have an unction. And the word again is charisma, which we get the word charisma, which is a smearing in or an oil that is rubbed in. Amen. It is that outer rubbing in. Amen. It is that overwhelming, that anointing. Amen. It is that covering, that enveloping. It is Jesus saying that anointing will overwhelm your life. I'm telling somebody in this building, you did more than get a little emotion last night. You did more than get a little goosebump. You got wrapped in the anointing of the Holy Ghost, the third person of the Godhead, with as much power and eternity as the Father and the Son. He sat down on you with power and glory. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is exactly what he wants to do to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. This is what he wants you to look like after youth camp. Now, he said, the Holy Ghost will be your comforter. He will be upon you. He will be in you. I don't have that 4D technology to show you what's going on the inside. But I saw what the outside looks like last night. And if the outside looks that good, can you imagine how good the inside looks right now? Oh. Hallelujah. Amen.
Acts chapter number 2. You know what happened? Acts chapter number 2. Now think about it, young folks. A lot of times you look at the Bible and you think it's nothing but a... I want you to look at Acts chapter number 2. It's prophecy being fulfilled.
It is Jesus' plan keeping the church strategically together and empowered moving forward. Understand that. So Acts chapter number 2, if we put a time figure on the timeline of what? AD 30 maybe? Somewhere around about that. And I know that may be but about AD 30, give or take a little bit, but AD 30. So think about your timeline right there. Think about your Bible as a historical book for a second. And I want you to think that when you go into a classroom, you'll have some agnostic or some atheist. They'll try to discredit or they'll try to tear down your faith. But I'm going to tell you flat-footed this morning, this is the most substantiated piece of literature ever in the history of mankind. I challenge you, research it. That is the most substantiated piece of literature in the history of mankind. Secular, spiritual, that is the most substantiated piece of literature. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Not only do I think it's immutable, not only do I think it's infallible, not only do I think it's inherited and God-breathed, but my friend, you can stand on it and you can refute it. Hallelujah. It's faith-building. Glory. But in Acts chapter number 2, how many? 120. When the day of Pentecost was fully come. Do it again, God. Do it again, God. Do it again, Lord. Do it again, God. Do it again, Lord. Do it again, Lord. Do it again, Lord. Hallelujah. Acts chapter number 10. Acts chapter number 10. Around verse number 44. Acts chapter number 10. Probably what? Maybe 10 years later? 10 years later, something like that? Down at Cornelius' house?
While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days.
You know the great thing about that story is what? Where was it at? Cornelius' house. Now it's not only on the Jews, but now what? Now it's on the Gentiles. Woo! Starting to spread, man. Church is getting bigger. Church is getting bigger. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But it's not over. That's 10 years. You go about 25, maybe 25 years later, something like that, maybe 15 years later, Acts chapter number 19, Paul, he stops over in Ephesus. Acts chapter number 19, he finds a few Ephesian believers. They've not been baptized in the Holy Ghost. They said, we don't even know. We don't even know if there is a Holy Ghost. And he said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they finally started laying hands on them. And the Bible said, they spoke in tongues. I said, God, would you do it again? I'm not ashamed to be a tongue talker. I'm not ashamed of Pentecost. I'm not ashamed of the Holy Ghost. I would to God in these last days. Isn't that what the book says? I said, what about a young man? What about a young ladies? In the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. I say, flow, wind, blow. Let the Holy Ghost fall. Let the wind of the Spirit, like a mighty rushing wind, let the fire of God fall. Let the rain of your Spirit move. Woo! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Glory! There might be somebody in this building this morning. You're not for sure about your experience in the Holy Ghost. We had a boy in our church that he went down to another church, and they said you couldn't be saved unless you had the Holy Ghost. So they took him in this other room and they put some syllables on the board and they made him repeat. It messed him up. Boy backslid. It messed him up. We could bring you to this altar and we could make you jibber jabber and you'd have no more of the Holy Ghost than anything. What I'd like for the Holy Ghost to do this morning. Magnify him. It's the Holy Ghost and fire. It's the Holy Ghost and fire. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, from the front to the back. From the front to the back. Come on and let's praise him. Come on, let's praise him. Ah, the devil doesn't want you to praise him. Come on, you know it, now I know it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. But oh, let's start a move of God in this place right now. Let's start a move of God right now in this place. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. How many believe the Lord can fill every one of us? We're getting ready to make an altar service. I'm going to tell you, the Holy Ghost was such a powerful experience in my life as a young person. It was a transformative time. I was quiet, shy, backward. But I'm going to tell you, when the Holy Ghost come into my life, it was such a, it's almost like it was a new chapter in my life. I was working at the radio station. I was working for it was a Southern Gospel radio station. It was owned by two Baptist preachers. My dad was on the radio station. I remember when I received the Holy Ghost, and a couple days later, one of the bosses called my dad off to the side and he said, "What's going on in Ryan's life?" Dad said, "What do you mean?" He said, "When he come to work Friday and all day Saturday we worked here, something's different. What is going on?" I was only 17 years old. But there was something inside of me. There was a fire. There was a fire. There was a boldness. There was something that was different. Yeah, I've never been the same. Never been the same. Amen. I'm going to tell you, the devil will try to put you down. The devil will try to intimidate you. The devil will try to, he'll use your family structure. He'll try to use your circumstances. He'll try, but if you'll get full of the Holy Ghost, if you'll get full of the Holy Ghost, if you'll get full of the Spirit of God, it's like fire. I said it's like fire. Young men, you won't worry about anything else. You won't worry about anything else. You'll be different. I said you'll be different. I would to God, God, turn this thing upside down right now. I would to God right now. You quit worrying about anybody else. And you just turn loose. And you'd obey God. And you say, hey, I want the fire of God. I want the power of God. I want to serve God. I want that glory. I want that anointing. I want the presence of the Holy Ghost. I want that joy. I want that peace. I want it more than anything in my life. Woo! Hallelujah! 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 I'd make a move right now if I was you. Glory, glory, glory! Come on, let's worship Him. While they sing, let's go to church. Oh, come on right now. I've got my mind made up.
Keeping me alive. It's keeping me
alive. Come on right now.
Holy Ghost and fire, and He's keeping me alive.
Come on right now, young men.
Jesus,
we need
you.
We need you.
Well, it's all over me, and He's keeping
come on.
Me alive, keeping
what's
me alive,
fire.
Keeping me alive,
it's like
I
fire,
it's all over me, keeping me alive, Jesus is keeping me alive, well, it's Holy Ghost of fire, and
right
He's
now,
keeping
come on, young
me
men,
alive.
Come on. Come on.
Keeping me alive.
Come on.
Oh, it's the Holy Ghost.
Come on.
Power, and it's keeping
come on.
Me alive.
Hallelujah.
He's keeping
hallelujah.
Me alive. He's all over me, and He's keeping me
whoa,
alive.
Bless the Lord. Bless
he's
the Lord.
Me
bless
alive.
The Lord.
He's all over me.
Holy Ghost power.
Jesus is keeping me alive. Well, it's the Holy Ghost and power, and He's
keeping me alive.
Keeping me alive. It's keeping me alive. Well, it's the Holy Ghost and power, and He's keeping me alive. Jesus is keeping me alive. I said He's all over me.
Keeping me alive.
Worship the Lord. Let Him fill you. Let
Jesus
Him refill you. Let Him put some power in your life. Come on, brothers. Come on, young men. Let Him fill you. Let Him refill you. Hey, let Him put some power in your life. Holy Ghost of God, fill them all, Lord. Fill them all, Lord. Do a work in their life this morning. Fill them with your power. Fill them with your presence, Lord. It'll make a difference in their lives. Holy Ghost of God.
Jesus! if you want it, you can get it. You can get that old time religion in your soul. Oh, I got it. You can have it. If you want it, you can get it. You can
get that old time religion in your soul.
Oh, I got it.
I got it. You can have it. If you want it,
you can get it. Jesus, I believe it's for me, Lord. I got it.
Got it.
You can have it.
You can have it.
If you want it,
you
can get it.
Get that old time religion in your soul.
Oh yeah, I got it.
I got it.
You can have it.
You can have
if you want it,
it.
You can get it.
Get
you
it.
Can get that old time religion in your soul. Well, I got it.
I got it.
You can have it.
You can have
if you want it.
If you want
you
it.
Can get it.
You
can get that old time religion in your soul. Oh yeah, I got it. You can have it if you want it. You can get it. You can get that old time religion in your soul.
Feel them with your power. Feel them with your presence.
Get it.